Good morning, everyone. Thanks for being here. Today I'm going to share with you the results of my study, biochar effects on soybean root growth and plant water status. So raise your hand if you don't know what biochar is and how it's created. Okay, for those of you that are in the room and don't know that, biochar is this charcoal material that you see in the picture, and it's created when biomass is pyrolyzed between 300 and 1,000 degrees Celsius under low oxygen conditions. Biochar has been considered as a means to mitigate climate change because it sequesters the carbon, and instead of putting it in the atmosphere, it keeps it in the soil because of its high stability. It's mostly a recalcitrant carbon source. A lot of benefits have been reported from biochar application to the soil, and we are interested in that benefits of biochar for soil functions, for soil physical properties, and for soil chemical properties. Even though that's pretty clear in the literature, we have found out that there is a gap in our understanding in terms of what the root of crops are going to respond to biochar application. So that's the rationale of this study. I conducted this study in Florida, and even though we get 50 inches of rain during the cropping season in Florida, most of our rain is uneven distributed during the cropping season, and it's erratic. So it will be really interesting to see how biochar is going to benefit that soil water holding capacity of our soils in Florida. Especially because our farmers face this big challenge. As you can see in this figure, so you can work with this. Yeah, we operate under this low range of soil water holding capacity, which is available to the plant. So, which means that the plants are stressed to uptake water and uptake nutrients. So we propose a study where we hypothesize that biochar application is going to increase soil water holding capacity of our sandy soils, it's going to increase root growth, and potentially water infiltration. Our objectives were to assess the effects of biochar application to different methods, different rates, and different irrigation regimes to see how that's going to impact on the system. So we designed a study with three factors. The first factor was application method, incorporated versus top dress. The rationale of that is that we have annual and perennial cropping systems. We're also moving towards no tillage practices where you cannot disturb the soil, so we wanted to compare those kind of application methods. We also selected four rates of biochar applications, see what's going to be the full response of applying up to 50 tons of biochar in the soil, and two irrigation regimes that were based on field capacity. The full irrigation was kept 100% field capacity, and it was irrigated to replenish when it reached 90% field capacity. And the partial irrigation was 75% field capacity, and we replenished when it reached 65% field capacity. Here I wanted to show you that we use a greenhouse study with lysimeric columns, like you can see in the picture. The control didn't get any biochar. The top dress, we only applied the biochar different rates in the soil surface. And incorporated, that was the funny one, because we needed to get the soil to a 15 centimeters deep. We extracted the soil, we added the biochar rate that particular lysimer was supposed to receive, and we mixed it thoroughly with the soil. We obtained the biochar from a commercial source because we wanted to see the consistency of the biochar in our treatments, in the replications. We replicated this treatment twice. So the three treatments that I just mentioned, the application method, biochar rate, and irrigation treatment, was replicated four times. That gave us 64 lysimers, as you can see in here. And in order to measure the root response, we selected soybean as a model crop because it had been well characterized in the literature and because we thought it would be optimum for the size of lysimers that we had for this study. We measured the gravimetric water content by weight. As you can see here, there is a scale. So I was lifting those lysimers twice a week for like 6 months. I didn't pay any gym fee during those 6 months. And we also had some small collection units here where we collected excess drainage, and it was stored there for up to 24 hours, and we measured subsequent volume drain from the lysimers. So after We harvest the upper part of the plant, the shoot. We extracted the whole soil column, and we divided by sections that corresponded to our application methods to 0 to 5 centimeters, 5 to 15, and then 15 to 35, to also see and characterize what's going on below our application treatments. So for results, so in terms of plant water status, we found out that for leaf surface area, we found an interaction between application method, biochar rate, and here on the y-axis you have leaf area. So we found that when you incorporate biochar at 25 and 50, it increases up to 28% the leaf surface area compared to the control. No significant treatments were found when we top dress biochar compared to the control. And seems like the incorporated performed better than top dress for the plant. Now, the most interesting thing about this study is the root part, because that was the rationale of our study. So we found a significant interaction between soil depth and our treatments, our fixed treatments. So here on the x-axis is biochar rate and root length density. I measure length density and surface area, but surface area follow the same pattern as length density, so I'm going to present only the length density results. We found that only main effect of biochar rate was an increase when you apply 10 and 25, and it seems to follow an optimum here. There is just like some sort of plateau and no need to apply 50, go to a high rate of biochar to actually improve the root length density of the crop. Treatments, again, application method, length density. Seems like in this soil depth, only top dress has significant effect compared to the control. Now, for the soil depth that goes from 5 centimeters to 15 centimeters, we found a significant interaction between application method, the first column, and biochar rate. A lot of numbers in there, but the most important findings were that in this red square, when you incorporate 10 tons of biochar, there is a significant increase of root length density compared to the control. And when you incorporate 10 and 25, there is a significant difference compared to the control, 60% increase in surface area. Now, we didn't find any significant results in terms of water holding capacity because, and this agrees with the literature, most of the benefits of biochar is after biochar has been in the field or in the soil for a longer period of time. We terminated this experiment when the soybean reached the R1 stage because we wanted to be sure that the root responses that we're going to measure were an effect of our treatments. But interestingly, you can see that when we apply biochar, in terms of infiltration, there is a decrease, a significant decrease, when you compare to the control, up to 50% decrease. Means that the water is infiltrating at a slower rate compared to the control, and that can be useful for farmers that apply biochar to be, I guess, more careful or deliver more the irrigation into a more slower rate when they irrigate their crops. So in conclusion, biochar increased soybean root length density and root surface area, and we saw that effect was basically specific to where we applied the biochar. In some cases, the rate impacted, in some cases, it did not. Biochar significantly decreased water infiltrability compared to the control, and we believe that biochar incorporation at the desired depth could be a practice aim to guide root growth and development. So I would like to thank the United States Department of Agriculture for funding this research, people that help with data analysis and collecting samples, and thank you for your attention. If you have any questions. We measure the water infiltration rate after we apply the biochar, and we apply known volumes of water to each column. And there is no influence of roots. We didn't plant, the plant wasn't still there. And we make sure that we were putting the same amount of water for each one, and we just measure time it took the water to infiltrate into the soil. So that interface between the atmosphere and biosphere. That's correct. We can speculate, and there are some studies out there that say that initially biochar is hydrophobic, so the molecule apparently doesn't attract water. It's not repellency, but it doesn't attract water. But then as it progresses, I guess the level of moisture around the molecule, it actually starts becoming hydrophilic, and it starts holding water, increasing that attraction. Can you please repeat the question?
So for the root density data,
yes, sir. For a root?
Yeah, you go back to that.
No, we collected, like, we sectioned the soil with the associated roots in that particular depth, and then we measured that.
Yeah, how the biochar was applied?
According to our treatments, to either incorporate or top dress. It was a completely randomized design, so you have, for biochar application method, 2 levels, rate 4 levels, and irrigation regimes 2 levels times 4 replications. Right. Because that was, so here, do I have time? Okay. So here in this area, when we sectioned that for all the treatments, we found that in that soil depth, when you apply up to 25, there are significant increase, but then it seems like it starts decreasing here when you go to 50.
So with this graph, the measure, was it incorporated or for this graph?
No, what I'm saying is this is a effect of the rate. Then, here. Here is the main effect of the top dress. So at that soil depth, only top dress significantly increased. And now I understood what you're saying. Yeah, it's only the top dress for this soil depth that actually improved root length density compared to the control.
Thank you.
Good.